Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature win utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer Kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
T.J. Buffenbarger here for Goodyear Tires. When traveling to races all over the country, my car is equipped with Goodyear Triple Tread technology to give me great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Outlaws, All-Star Circuit of Champions, Knoxville Raceway, and the 50th Knoxville Nationals. When traveling to the racetrack, do it on the wings of Goodyear.
Rumble in the new year! It all happens Friday and Saturday, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day! Racing's Power Party comes to the Memorial Coliseum Expo Center as Evans Toyota and Fuzzy's Vodka welcome the Rumble and Fort Wayne Indoor Midget Auto Races. Two huge shows. New Year's Eve at 7 p.m. and Saturday New Year's Day at 7 p.m. Doors open at noon. Witness national stars in action on the 1-6-mile track inside the Expo Center. Also featuring up.com.
All right, we're back from that little computer implosion that we just had. So welcome to the TJ Flyway's Open Wheel Spectacular. Try 2.0 on Tuesday night. That was an in-studio failure. No problem with the in-house network over at racesontheweb.com. We just had a laptop that decided to quit. That does all the streaming, but hooked everything back up, and we're rolling right into our first guest, who has recently taken the reins of the Engine Pro ASCS Sprints on Dirt, presented by ARP. He is the former manager of the Berlin Raceway. He's managed the Auto Value Super Sprints. He's announced at the I-96 Speedway, and he's returned to the dirt for 2011, traveling with the Sprints on Dirt. Glad to have Mike Strievel joining us on the air. Mike, thanks for making time to join us tonight.
Not a problem. Glad to hear it. I had to laugh a little bit when I heard about the computer problems, because usually that's when I'm calling you, is when I've got a computer problem of some kind.
It's the first time that's ever happened on the show. We just decided to melt one down right on the show intro, and luckily got the backup going. Like I said, nothing to do with Verlaine's network. That's rock solid. It was just our stuff here in studio not agreeing, but you have decided to take on an ambitious project for 2011. You're going to go ahead and take over the Sprints on Dirt reins. Why don't you explain what you're going to be doing with Saad and what interested you in the position?
Well, it was a call that was kind of an offer that was kind of hard to say no to exactly. Dane Nida, which everybody sure is pretty familiar with, did a great job running his last several years. Dane's got a tremendous offer to drive a car based out of Canada, and he wanted to concentrate on that, and I think kind of being pulled two different directions, being series director and driver, was a bit difficult, and it was a challenge. As much as he tried to separate himself from the two on race day, he realized that maybe it was a time to make a move, and I happened to just kind of, the timing was right that I was available to do so. It was kind of one of these things where I wasn't out there pounding the pavement looking for something for a part-time gig, but things kind of came together properly, and the timing was just right. And the cool part is, from my past years working together as a promoter with Berlin, I'm pretty familiar with most of the promoters from days gone by at the promoters MSPA meetings and all that kind of stuff. So got a chance to jump on board, and here we are, and it's been just about a month or so, and basically we're hitting the ground running, and first thing we're working on, of course, is the 2011 schedule and some of the sponsorship relationships. So we're getting that all put together right now. A little bit slowed down this past week, 10 days with the holiday time, but other than that, TJ, we're excited to roll with this and look forward to it, and I guess I'm going to have to start to warming up my pipes because I'm going to do a little bit of announcing next year, and I got big shoes to fill, I understand.
Yeah, okay, whatever. So I'm being replaced by the voice of God. I don't think anyone's going to miss me a whole lot. But
oh, come on. Yeah, I mean, now you've got that. The title series, the sponsorship deal down pretty good now, and I got to remember to take care of the boys at Engine Pro and properly do all of that. But that's one of the things that's obviously very important, is sponsorship in the racing world, and that's something we're looking forward to doing. But I am excited about it, and like I say, I know some of the racers that are involved, some of the newer guys I'll get to know soon. Got a great staff on board. You know, we've talked. You're more than invited to come and welcome to goof around with us anytime you feel you got time to do so. I understand the family life's kind of slows things down a little bit, as I've had that dealings in the past myself. But either way, we're looking forward to it, and April will be here before you know it.
And that obviously the first thing everyone wanted to ask about is the schedule. How are things coming along for the schedule for 2011? Anything different we might see, or is it pretty much right now business as usual?
Business as usual is the first part. I mean, if people are familiar all with racing, and I'm sure most of the listeners that are in are pretty you know, familiar with short track racing. First thing you do is you talk to all your promoters from 2010, and that's something you even do during the course of the year, which Day and Night, you know, started with already. And how did it go? It was a good show, good date, and you give every racetrack the right of first refusal to renew those dates for the next season. So that's what we've done, gone through all that process between Dane, and then kind of the keys were handed to me to finish that process. So we're looking solid at virtually every single racetrack we were at last year to this year. One unfortunate exception, it just happened. Actually, it was day before Christmas here. Jigs from Gat City called me, and it looks like Gat City is going to be going dark on a few Friday nights this year, so I might be giving people a scoop, maybe not, but one of the casualties is the side NRA race will not be a guest city in 2011, which was a bit of a bummer, but he's just trying to juggle his schedule around a little bit and figure out what he wants to do down there at guest city. So unfortunately we won't be down there, but we're still working on a couple other Indiana race tracks, and we'll continue with that. The Ohio Memorial Day weekend looks solid, and you know, your typical Crystals and Winstons and Cherries and the Schweikens and South Buxtons are all on schedule. Owendale, of course, as well, Hartford. You know, so we're looking good. I would say race count-wise, pretty close to the same as 2010. Maybe one race one way or the other, less or more. And we're looking for a end of January release of the schedule.
Okay, and I assume right now season's going to start at Crystal Motor Speedway and probably last week in April, early May, more than likely.
April the 30th, the way the schedule's fallen, April 30th, Ron Flynn, of course, a great supporter of SOD. The trivia question is, he's the only racetrack that's had a SOD race every single year, the existence of SOD, so Ron's a great supporter of the series, and we'll have the two other shows at Crystal, obviously. So, yeah, season starts there. The ending of the season, still a little bit up in the air. Obviously, last year we ended at I-96 at the end of September, and there's a little bit of jockeying around going on there exactly where we're going to wrap things up as far as September goes. But we're getting there, definitely. And like I say, we'll mid to January, towards the end, we'll have the whole thing pretty much wrapped up and put to bed and to be, you know, be released.
So things starting to look good there. What's one thing you're looking forward to the most, you think, tackling this? A lot of these places you probably have never even seen before.
Yeah, I've done some race chasing in my day, but the last few years I've been pretty much strapped down to one racetrack wherever it happened to be. So you're right on the money there. I can say I've never been to Owendale, even though I know of it. Haven't been to Schweikon, haven't been to South Buxton. You know, I've been to a lot of the other tracks, you know, over the years gone by. I've been to over 100 different racetracks in my life, but I'm looking forward to working with these promoters. I mean, you know, we put on a great product. Everybody's familiar with it for the most part. It's got a great reputation, been around 30-plus years, and that's you know, one of the nice parts, it's not something brand new. We're just trying to get introduced to people. So there's a great expectation and a quality of product, like, so to speak, as far as the racing goes, that everybody knows you're going to get when you go to a SAD show. You're going to get a nice field of cars, good competition, you know, run by a great group of people, and that's the great part as well. When Dane told me he had a nice staff in place already, and they were virtually all coming back for 2011, well, that, you know, made it easy for me to make the decision, because one of the toughest things there is to do for a race team or a race series is to have that staff, those good people, those crew people that can help you out. So that's the great part is, you know, Larry's coming back to help to run things on Saturdays and all that, so we're excited about that. But, yeah, I've got a lot of challenges on my plate. I am excited to do a little announcing, I'll admit it. You know, it's kind of full of fun things to do. It's a hobby of mine. I haven't had a chance to do much of it in the last couple of years, so look forward to that. And, you know, just enjoying the cars. They're my true favorite cars to watch race. It's one of those things where I've always enjoyed open wheels and especially wing cars. It's just one of them things I've enjoyed my whole life. And so get to be involved with them day to day. Really looking forward to that.
And actually, the schedule's pretty West Michigan friendly too. You'll find because,
it does help me a little bit on mileage. I'm sure.
Yeah, it does kind of help. It's kind of funny when you get the East Coast, the guys from the east side of the state. They'll be coming over and go, man, this was a long trip, and then you'll return the favor when you go to Owendale and Canada and everywhere else. So.
And that's it. You know, you try, and that's one of those things where, you know, and I was talking with Bob Fricke from the NRA, and we were talking about traveling and how far do you want to go, and it's like, hey, you know, it'd be great to book races in Kentucky or Tennessee or North Carolina, but it doesn't make sense. I mean, there's a series you can do that called the World Outlaws. You want to start putting thousands of miles on your hauler. And, you know, we're an economical series for guys that work for, you know, guys and gals that work hard for a living during the week and got to get to the races on the weekend. And so it's just one of those things where, yeah, you need to keep it, you know, drives down to 3, 4, 5 hours tops. You know, you want to get home, so you don't drive home and park your hauler and you're seeing the sun come up, so we try to avoid that at all costs. And it's about the economics and keeping things sensible as far as that. We know racing is expensive, but we want to keep the things at least somewhat reasonable, and that's why we're not driving to, too far away to go to shows.
One other question someone had for me here is, is the Memorial Day weekend the only co-sanctioned races we're going to see, at least with NRA next year? Are there going to be other co-sanctioned events?
I've got conversations going. Like I say, Bob and I have talked to each other 3-4 times already. I can see maybe another NRA side show. Don't want to let the cat out of the bag yet as to where. There was going to be one that was the plan with Gas City, and that didn't come together, unfortunately, even though 2012 we were all could see it back at Gas City. So there won't be a ton of co-sanctioned shows. The Memorial Day weekend in Ohio will be, of course. And there, if I'm going to say anything right now, there might be one other show yet. But it's obviously got to coordinate, and you're juggling, you know, not only a side schedule, you're juggling whatever racetrack you're dealing with, and you've got to work around the Lima and NRA guys and make sure it all fits for them, too. So it's kind of a tough thing always to put together, but there won't be a ton of them, but there might be one more yet, so we'll have to see yet.
And so, Mike, we'll kind of end it right there, and I'm sure we'll have you back on once the schedule's released, but thank you for making time for us, and have a great New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I look forward to it, and anytime, man. I look forward to the support and appreciate all everybody's doing out there, and, you know, check out sod.com. We'll get some more news on there soon once we get some things to slide onto the website as well. So look forward to it. Thanks, man.
All right. That's Mike Strievel from the Engine Pro ESCS Sprint Thunder presented by ARP. We're going to take a quick break. But our race fans, don't forget the Rumble and the Expo will be available on racesontheweb.com pay-per-view, $5.95 per day. And it'll be super reliable because it won't be produced out of this studio. So they'll have much more reliable equipment than my shoddy thrown together audio setup there to do the racesontheweb.com live pay-per-view Friday and Saturday, $5.95 per day for Rumble in the Expo. We're going to take a quick break. We've got Mike Fedorchek, Matt Westfall, and Ronnie Werderman's also going to join us talk about indoor racing. You're listening to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on racesontheweb.com.
Rumble in the new year. It all happens Friday and Saturday, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Auto Racing's Power Party comes to the Memorial Coliseum Expo Center as Evans Toyota and Fuzzy's Vodka welcome the Rumble and Fort Wayne Indoor Midget Auto Races. Two huge shows. New Year's Eve at 7 p.m. and Saturday, New Year's Day at 7 p.m. Doors open at noon. Witness national stars in action on the 1/6-mile track inside the Expo Center. Also featuring outlaw winged midgets, slingshots, carts, and quarter midget. Plus, Hoosier Windows and Siding presents ATV stuntman Henry the Pitbull Wright as he attempts a world record jump of Evans Toyotas at the New Year's Eve fan pit party in the pit. And Crazy Pins is giving away $10 gift cards to the first 1,000 ticket buyers at the Coliseum ticket office. Friday and Saturday, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Evans Toyota welcomes the Rumble and Fort Wayne Indoor Midget Auto Races. Brought to you by Hoosier Window and Siding, Fuzzy's Vodka, and Crazy Pins. Tickets on sale now at the Coliseum ticket office, Ticketmaster.com, or call or text 260-479-9928, RumbleSeries.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature win utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA.
TJ Buffenbarger here for Goodyear Tires. When traveling to races all over the country, my car is equipped with Goodyear Triple Tread technology to give me great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Outlaws, All-Star Circuit of Champions, Knoxville Raceway, and the 50th Knoxville Nationals. When traveling to the racetrack, do it on the wings of Goodyear.
Rumble in the new year! It all happens Friday and Saturday, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day! Auto Racing's Power Party comes to the Memorial Coliseum Expo Center as Evans Toyota and Fuzzy's Vodka welcome the Rumble in Fort Wayne Indoor Midget Auto Races.
Welcome back to the Future Sideways Open Wheel Spectacular here on racesontheweb.com. My next guest has a long history with the indoor racing in Fort Wayne and in midget racing in general. One of the most innovative gentlemen to ever enter the sport. He was reformed the night before the 500 and came up with the concept for the innovative Munchkin race cars. And he's actually in the shop getting a couple of them ready right now. Mike Fedorchek joining us on the line. Mike, it's great to have you on tonight.
Well, it's had a pleasure to be here. He's a seasoned TV racing.
I would agree with that. You're a busy guy right now. Now, first thing I want to touch on is you're actually not racing.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Being a racer that I am,
felt like I had to pass my sister.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of...
Devastated me for a while there, but now we're kind of getting in the mood again since I've been around the cars and working on them and getting the car ready for Mike Lucite to run.
And you're...
I'm getting his car ready. My 97 car, Tony Stewart's 97 car is going to stay parked as far as I know.
Yeah, and it was announced that Kevin Olson's driving now. How did that deal get set up? That had to be an interesting conversation with you and KO to get that deal put together.
Yeah, well, that deal, at this point, I mean, he's welcome to the car, but I haven't seen anybody show up yet to get the car ready, so I don't know what's going to happen with that, frankly. Kind of out of my hands.
That is breaking news for you right there. So that may or may not happen. But we were talking off the air that you've been very busy. You are actually prepping a couple of cars right now.
Right, yeah. As we're speaking, I'm in the shop where the car that Corey Setzer is going to drive. He's a local driver here from Fort Wayne. He is driving the Rencorrell Munchkin number 56 yellow car. And I am actually prepping in my shop, which is about 6 or 7 miles from here. We're prepping a car for Mike Osite to drive, and that's another Munchkin car.
Now, several years ago when the exposition got going again, when this Fort Wayne Indoor deal got going, you guys started racing again after several years of being on the sidelines. What tempted you to come back? What about the Fort Wayne deal made you want to come back and compete?
Well, that's a good point. I think 1988 was the last time I ran at the old hockey rink track or in the Coliseum. And I got away from it, the indoor stuff pretty much. And then when Tony Barhorst started up the inaugural indoor at the Expo, I think that was in 1998, I bypassed the thing for a couple years thinking, well, you know, I'm not really that interested in doing it. I had the Munchkin sitting around, I'd race at the Speedrome with. And then for some reason, I mean, I went to the race just to kind of check it out, and then I thought, well, you know, it might be kind of fun just to try this. And I was trying to sell the car at that point, so I thought, well, this would be a good way to sell it. And we had moderate success. I think I ran the first thing in like 99 or 2000. This was moderate success. Car was still for sale. Nobody was really interested in it. Then in 2001, I believe, Tony Stewart ran the car. And back from that point on, it's just been kind of a whirlwind every year with additional rule changes aimed at the car and just kind of some excitement created by the addition of five of these cars that Mike Stryker built for me last year. And it's just kind of rejuvenated the whole thing.
And you're a guy that's used to rule changes kind of following you around. You've built some very innovative race cars. Looking back at the whole thing, when you build something like that, is there any kind of particular pride a little bit that you build something so good they have to change the game a little bit for you? I mean, not many guys in the racing world, period, can manage to do that. And you've done it several times.
Well, I think I'm following in the tradition of my dad, who built some stock cars back in the early 50s, late 40s, and they added rules. He showed me when he was living. He showed me some rules that they added aimed specifically at his car. So I think that was probably some incentive to me, you know, to think outside the box, which I've always tried to do within reason. At first when I started making changes, I thought, well, is this directed at me or plan for me, or is it just something that they just thought of in general? But now, you can just see black and white is aimed right at these cars, and they're actually mentioning the Munchkin in the rules. That pretty much tells me, it's aimed at that car. And so, yeah, there is a little bit of pride involved, and I don't know. I always wait to prep my car till like 2 weeks before the race so that I can let the rules settle down and come up with a final set of rules before I make any changes. So yeah, it is, you know, to answer the question, it is kind of a compliment, and I guess I'm used to it now and don't really mind. And actually just tonight, we found another place where we can kind of bend the rules a little bit, and I'm not going to take the liberty to tell you where it is, but, you know, it's fun.
And one thing I've always wondered, you built the original Munchkin back in the late 80s. How is the car now from when you originally built it? Because it physically, from looking at them, they don't really look that different. That's pretty remarkable that a design is so good that it still performs now in 2010 and is just as competitive as it was then.
Yeah, well, it is pretty much the same car that it was back in 1987, aside from the modifications just meant to make it conform to the rules, primarily the fuel tank and the weight of the car. I mean, that was the two biggest things that were addressed. They've also got in the offset of the axles a little bit. But I feel that, I mean, this car also had a track record of IRP, so it's not specifically an indoor car. And I believe to this day that if we had a pretty strong horizontally opposed engine to go in the car, that I could run right with the guy, not me, but the car could run right with the guys today competing in USAC at IRP.
And one of the kind of turning points of this thing, when you brought it back indoors, and you talked to me about this after you won, actually, at Fort Wayne, is when you got Tony Stewart in the car, you saw how, you mentioned how aggressive he was. And how much have you learned from racing with Tony as a teammate indoors as a driver?
Well, he's taught me a lot, and I've studied him and his style. Tony is, how can I say it? He's aggressive when he needs to be. He's not just out to crash and bang and beat around and see what he gets. I mean, his probably best advice to me were to find a guy's weak spot and make it a problem for him. And that's exactly what he does. I mean, he did that. I can tell who's behind me when somebody's bumping into me because he bumps into me at my worst point on the racetrack. Whether it's going into the corner, coming off, through the apex, wherever my car is slow, he is the one that takes advantage of that and lets me know that my car's slow there. And, you know, that kind of shakes me up sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. And he does that to pretty much, I won't say pretty much everybody passes, but if there's somebody that's really holding him up or is kind of in the way, so to speak, he will not spin them out, but he'll make their problem just a little bit worse for them so that he can take advantage of it.
And that's you and him kind of cultivated this relationship. Did you guys have any prior contact when he decided to call you in the middle of the night and buy the car?
Well, the first contact I had with him was actually down at IRP when he was kind of the up-and-coming racer. I was warming up. I just went down to one of the USAC IRP races with a helmet bag in hand, and he was driving for Raleigh Helmering at the time, and Raleigh let me know that Tony was on his way. He was in an airplane, but he was running late, and would I mind getting into the car and warming it up and possibly even qualifying him for the car for him? And, of course, I readily agreed, and I didn't really even know who Tony was at the time. So I went ahead and warmed it up, and just as we were in the qualifying line, Tony showed up, and he ended up qualifying the car. Of course, that's where I got to know him a little bit. And then a few years later, he was once again, this is when we had the car down at the Hoosier Dome, the Munchkin down at the Hoosier Dome for Mark Bismore to drive, and Mark had not made the show. And Tony and Kenny Irwin were flying in after, I think, a Busch Cup practice. And Tony's car owner at the Hoosier Dome had contacted me because their car was not going to be able to race. And his car owner contacted me to ask me if Tony could run our car since it wasn't qualified yet. And I thought, sure. I mean, this is a way to get the car in a race, guaranteed. So Tony and Kenny Irwin showed up actually wearing parachutes like they just had flown in parachuted in. That's how late they were, just in time for the feature. Tony looked at my car. I think he got in. I think we added a spring to the pedal, or to the throttle pedal. Started up for the feature in the back, very last. We took one straightaway, kind of fast, just to kind of get a feel for the car. Went around, took the green flag. Within three laps, he had passed six cars, and it's pretty much one car per lap up until maybe 20 laps to go. He was running, I think he ended up running sixth or fifth. He just put on a very impressive performance. I mean, the crowd was cheering for him. He said, man, I got to drive this car again sometime. So we went probably 4 or 5 years after that before he called me the one night. Actually, he didn't. The night he called me to buy the car was after he had run the car 2 or 3 times. He had contacted me at another Fort Wayne race. He didn't contact me. One of his pit crew contacted me, actually, and let me know Tony wanted to run the car. So at that point, there had been a few other people that had wanted to pay me to run the car, and I really refused because I was thinking about doing it myself. But since it was Tony, I thought, you know, I kind of owe him a little favor, and we'll just have fun with this. This was maybe 2 weeks before the race that his guy had called me, and I had not heard from Tony. But a week before the race, some brand new tires showed up, so I thought, well, I guess it's serious. And he ended up winning that time in the car. And we just kind of had a good relationship ever since then.
And, you know, you're pretty good to yourself, and you've run second to him a couple times and stuff, and you've won plenty indoors. And what would it mean, though, to beat him in one of those features at Fort Wayne?
Well, I guess it would be pretty good, but the only way I would beat him is if there's something wrong with his car. I mean, it certainly wouldn't be from driving talent. I mean, because he is just, to me, just one of the most talented guys in the United States as far as driving goes. It would be a compliment to me that I had my car set up better than his that day, pretty much.
And one other question someone just emailed in. What's the biggest difference about racing at the new Fort Wayne versus the old Fort Wayne? We don't have many guys that have run at both venues. What are the biggest differences between the old hockey rink and the new exposition center for the drivers?
Well, you're talking to a guy that's won a feature on both surfaces. I'm the only guy that's done that, and I think I'm now the only guy that can do that. Since Mel Kennan retired. But I did win a feature on the old surface, and it was pretty much, if you wanted to get in front, you had to really be aggressive and really just be lucky. The fun factor is probably equal on both tracks. The racing factor, the Expo Center is definitely more raceable than the old Coliseum hockey rink. There's a little bit more space to run. It's not so tight. There are actually places you can pass without running into somebody on the track. The surface is comparable. The crowds, I think, are much better at the Expo Center, and it's just, I don't know, it's kind of in one way it's more fun. Some of the old traditions, and with Kevin Olson coming into the race this year, we may be reminded of some of the old traditions of the old Fort Wayne hockey track, or hockey rink track. Some of the pre-race activities that may have went on may return this year, being it's the New Year's season. And I won't say what we're talking about, but maybe somebody out there in your audience can kind of get the idea.
It'll be interesting to see. You know, I like Mike. He's always got something up his sleeve. And I'll tell you what, if you get a chance over at the Exposition Center, make sure to stop by the pit and say hi to Mike, because he's one of the most interesting guys. One of the guys in racing, I always say that I learn something every time I talk to him. And there are many people in that class, and Mike is definitely there. Well, Mike, I wish you the best of luck. It was an honor to have you on the show. And
thank you.
Look forward to having you on again sometime.
That'd be great. And guys, stop by our pits there and say hi to us. We'll give it our best shot.
All right. Mike Fedorchak, getting things ready for the Rumble and the Expo. We're going to have another quick break, come back with Matt Westfall and Ronnie Werderman. We're going to come back with them and wrap up 2010 on the Open Wheel Spectacular here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Rumble is the new year. It all happens Friday and Saturday, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Auto Racing's Power Party comes to the Memorial Coliseum Expo Center as Evans Toyota and Fuzzy's Vodka welcome the Rumble and Fort Wayne Indoor Midget Auto Races. Two huge shows. New Year's Eve at 7 p.m. and Saturday New Year's Day at 7 p.m. Doors open at noon. Witness National Stars in action on the 1/6 mile track inside the Expo Center. Also featuring Outlaw Wing Midgets, Slingshot, Carts, and Quarter Midgets. Plus, Hoosier Windows and Siding presents ATV stuntman Henry the Pitbull Wright as he attempts a world record jump of Evans Toyotas at the New Year's Eve fan pit party in the pit. And Crazy Pins is giving away $10 gift cards to the first 1,000 ticket buyers at the Coliseum Ticket Office. Friday and Saturday, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Evans Toyota welcomes the Rumble in Fort Wayne Indoor Midget Auto Races. Brought to you by Hoosier Window and Siding, Fuzzy's Vodka, and Crazy Pins. Tickets on sale now at the Coliseum Ticket Office, Ticketmaster.com, or call or text 260-479-9928 at RumbleSeries.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature win utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA.
T.J. Buffenbarger here for Goodyear Tires. When traveling to races all over the country, my car is equipped with Goodyear Triple Tread technology to give me great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Outlaws All-Star Circuit of Champions, Knoxville Raceway, and the 50th Knoxville Nationals. When traveling to the racetrack, do it on the wings of Goodyear.
Welcome back to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Welcome back here. My next guest is one of the few drivers now competing at the Chili Bowl and this weekend's Rumble in the Expo. Matt Westfall joining me. Matt, happy holidays. Hope you had a good Christmas season.
Yeah, we had a good Christmas. I hope everybody else did, too.
And we mentioned earlier that you are going to be competing both at Fort Wayne and Tulsa. I don't think, even though they're indoor midget races, you can find two races that are probably more different than Fort Wayne and the Chili Bowl.
Yeah, it's kind of slow and keep it straight at Fort Wayne and bump your way through. And Chili Bowl, you got to be on the gas, up on the cushion, or on the bottom. It's pretty racy.
And now Fort Wayne, you're going to be driving the Vogler Craft car again?
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm driving my aunt and uncle's car, Dave and Bonner Ryder's car.
And that's kind of an interesting car. I mean, you know, it's kind of neat to get one of those older cars that there's no side panels or anything. Does that even have power steering in it?
Yeah, we put power steering in it two years ago. So it makes it a lot easier.
I was going to say, you're not going to have to work quite as hard as you might have had to otherwise. So,
yeah.
What's the most enjoyable aspect about Fort Wayne for you?
It's a good time. It gives me a little seat time before we go to Chili Bowl. That, and I enjoy, I build my own go-karts and stuff, and I got my go-karts there racing. It's just a lot of fun. Get to hang out with all the racing people and have a good time.
So how many go-karts are you going to be fielding along with that midget car?
I'm just fielding one this year.
Nah, you're not going to stretch yourself too thin then. So you come from a karting background. I've always said the karters at Fort Wayne are crazy. I mean, those things just haul the mail around that place. You know, you did a lot of indoor karting. I mean, what is that like to be in that car and going that, you know, that kart going that fast around something that compact?
Everything happens quick. I think running a go-kart in my younger days helped me a lot out on missing crashes and stuff. You got to really look ahead. That stuff happens pretty quick there, so you got to be on your toes. And the G-forces are pretty good, too, because, I mean, it just sets you over in the seat, and they really go fast.
Do you still jump in the kart every now and then?
Every once in a while, but I enjoy just work. I build my own chassis and do that, and I hire a kid to drive for me, so it's a lot of fun doing that. I can work on it.
Plus, when those kids fall off, they heal a little quicker than we do.
Yeah.
Matt and I are about the same age, and I couldn't even imagine falling off on those carts in Fort Wayne now, but Matt Westfall joining us. And you're getting ready for Chili Bowl, and what do you think so far of everyone that's going to be on tonight? What night are you racing, and how do you think it sizes up?
I'm scheduled to race on Tuesday night, but my car owner, Steve Border, he can't make it out there till Thursday, so he wants me to switch my nights, and I really haven't paid much attention. I have to do that when I get out there.
So obviously not worried about who he's going up against. Do you prefer to go earlier in the week, or do you prefer to go later in the week, or does it not really matter to you?
It doesn't really matter to me. I mean, out there every night's tough, no easy nights. So it's just, I kind of like racing later in the week because you get to watch what the racetrack's been doing, and that way you're a little ahead of end of the game, hopefully, and then you don't have to sit and wait for Saturday night either, so you can just race and then get right back into it.
Is there anything at the track that the Chili Bowl race is like that you can compare to that you race in the summer with the sprint car or the midget?
Macon and Little Belleville are kind of like the Chili Bowl. They're just banked more. Them's probably the two most comparable tracks.
And, of course, you do a lot of sprint car racing during the summer. Had a very good season in 2010. What are you looking to do next or this coming season, 2011? Where can we see Matt Westfall?
We're updating our equipment a little bit. We're going to buy a new Triple X car and have some new stuff, putting a new motor together so we can run with USAC maybe a little more on the big tracks. And I'm driving for Simon a little bit next year too. We're going to do the opener at Eldora. I'm supposed to run for him there. So we'll just see how it goes. It all depends on the money situation.
Yeah, that's always a big part of it. And of course, your family will probably be a big part of that again. Your family has been a huge part of your racing career. It seems like no matter what you're driving or what you've been doing, your dad and everyone's right there helping.
Yeah, that's, pretty much. Mom and Dad spent their life savings for me to race, so but it's in my dad's blood. I mean, he loves to do it, so that's why we keep doing it.
And I've been around you guys. You've had fun a time or two doing this, too.
Just, do what?
You've had a little bit of fun doing this. Just a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't change it for nothing.
That's exactly it. It's one of the guys. Well, he's one of our favorite guys to talk to, Matt Westfall, here on the Open Wheel Spectacular. Matt, the Triple X deal is a little bit different. There were a whole lot of those in non-wing racing, and then they started springing up last year with some success, and that was something different for your program, and it obviously worked for you.
Yeah, at Gas City early in the year, I got in a crash and tore my car up. We was getting ready to go to do the Pennsylvania swing with USAC, and I didn't get to go to Pennsylvania, but we had just enough money to buy a new car, and we went ahead and went with the Triple X because, I mean, they're a real good car, a lot cheaper. It was easier for me to get back on the racetrack going to something like that, and actually it's better for me than the other cars I've had.
And one thing coming up this year, as you say, is getting off the pavement with the sprint cars. What do you think about that? You've run quite a bit of pavement. You've also primarily been on the dirt lately. What do you think of the sprint cars going to an all-dirt schedule?
Well, the biggest problem with that I can see is you can go to the racetrack and spend more on tires than you can even win. So that's pretty much that's why we got out of the pavement racing. Couldn't afford to pay the tire bills, and if you want to win, you're going to have to buy the tires. So I think they just kind of outprice themselves for the purse.
Now, being an all-dirt schedule, does that make that a little more tempting to a team like you? Let's say you go to the opener, you do well, maybe you do the first two or three races, you're in the top five in points. Does that change things maybe a little bit? If the right financial package came along, are you more apt to maybe look at doing a whole season now that it's all on dirt?
It'd be a lot of fun to do that. I mean, that's the goal, but realistically, we couldn't afford it. They travel too much. They go to California a couple times a year, and that's a lot of money to go out there. So if I could get the backing, we'd probably do it. But right now we'll run a couple USAC races and then go back to doing our local stuff.
And, of course, you probably have some people to thank for making these upcoming indoor races possible for you.
Now, what did you say again?
I'm sure you have some people to thank about the that helped you make the indoor races possible for you in the next couple weeks.
Yeah. My grand and uncle, they bought that car for us a couple years ago and for Fort Wayne. Really excited about this year because the last couple years we've had a lot of motor problems. And my uncle got with Dick Hinkernell and got a motor. They went together. Rock had a car. My uncle Dave had a car. He had a motor and he didn't have a real good car. So we got a 166 Volkswagen in there this year. So should be a lot better. It sounded good when we fired it up. So hopefully we'll have good things to come of it.
All right, well, Matt, we wish you the best of luck and here at Fort Wayne and in Tulsa, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you again if you score well the wins.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Matt Westfall joining us on the Open Wheel Spectacular. When we come back, we're going to have Ronnie Werderman, and then we're going to finish off 2010. Stay tuned.
Rumble in the new year. It all happens Friday and Saturday, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Auto Racing's Power Party comes to the Memorial Coliseum Expo Center as Evans Toyota and Fuzzy's Vodka welcome the Rumble in Fort Wayne Indoor Midget Auto Races. Two huge shows. New Year's Eve at 7 p.m. and Saturday, New Year's Day at 7 p.m. Doors open at noon. Witness national stars in action on the 1/6 mile track inside the Expo Center. Also featuring outlaw wing midgets, slingshots, carts, and quarter midgets. Plus, Hoosier Windows and Siding presents ATV stuntman Henry the Pitbull Wright as he attempts a world record jump of Evans Toyotas at the New Year's Eve Fan Pit Party in the pit. And Crazy Pigs is giving away $10 gift cards to the first 1,000 ticket buyers at the Coliseum Ticket Office. Friday and Saturday, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Evans Toyota welcome the Rumble in Fort Wayne Indoor Midget Auto Races. Brought to you by Hoosier Window and Siding, Fuzzy's Vodka, and Crazy Pigs. Tickets on sale now at the Coliseum Ticket Office, Ticketmaster.com. Or call or text 260-479-9928, RumbleSeries.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature win utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer Kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA.
TJ Buffenbarger here for Goodyear Tires. When traveling to races all over the country, my car is equipped with Goodyear Triple Tread technology to give me great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Outlaws All-Star Circuit of Champions, Knoxville Raceway, and the 50th Knoxville Nationals. When traveling to the racetrack, do it on the wings of Goodyear.
Welcome back to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Working a little overtime tonight, getting ready for the Rumble in the Expo Friday and Saturday. Don't forget, race fans, you're going to be able to check that out live. You can go out to the Exposition Center there. I highly encourage it. It's a great weekend. But if you can't, for some reason, RacesOnTheWeb.com, the network we appear on. It'll have pay-per-view video of the Rumble and the Expo both days, $5.95 per day, reliable audio and video. I joked earlier because it's not being produced out of this studio, it'll be just fine. And since I won't be pushing the buttons, there probably won't be any problems with it. And if you tune in or go to the racetrack, you'll be able to see my next guest. He's always kind of hanging around the front at Fort Wayne, usually makes some noise over there, and has a few focus wins to his credit. And a few years ago, we discovered him when it was just him and his mom working on the race car. When he was just a Ronnie, were you a high school student or college student? As Ronnie Werdeman joins us.
Well, I started racing there as a high school student when I was 16. I think we ran sixth place our first year indoors. But we have only missed one show in the last, I think, 8 years, and that's because I had to rent the car out. But we have a handful of top tens and few heat race wins, even Pat Stewart 1 year.
So now, you raced the Focus car against the full-size midgets. It's one of the unique aspects of the Fort Wayne deal. You'll get some Canyon midgets and some Focus cars. Are there any advantages to the Focus car indoors, and what are the disadvantages?
Yeah, well, the only real advantage I can find is it always starts. I have a clutch, so if there's a wreck, I can pull the clutch and drive around it and not get penalized. Those are the advantages. The disadvantage is, you know, if you're on the track by yourself, it doesn't really matter because you can keep the car rolling if you have a good handling car and a good driver. But when you get in traffic, especially lap traffic, and you get behind somebody that has 100 more horsepower than you, it sure makes it difficult to pass them. But that's why we run a big front bumper in there.
There's a few guys that run the cow catchers up front, and Ronnie will be one of those guys. And there's been a lot of changes in the Focus series. We're starting to try to get the rules back to the combo cars like you have. Do you think the rules they've put in place are going to help the series?
Well, you know, they're gonna make it a little bit more competitive for pavement. I don't think that you'll see I raced a 1997 Hawk combo car, and it's a great combo car, but I don't think you'll see a car like that win at a track bigger than the Speedrome anymore. There's just too much money and too many really good cars that they aren't going to have to change a whole lot. And they've made these weight rules where they make the pavement-only cars run more weight, and we can't get down to near the minimum weight anyway, so it's all a bunch of fluff, I think. But on dirt, I think it'll encourage some more people to race dirt that normally don't. And that's what I'm all about anymore, even though half my wins are on pavement. But I think it's headed in the right direction. It'll just take a little more time and a little more smoothing out.
And, of course, you do have some wins on the dirt you mentioned, at Gassity and stuff. But what would it mean to score an indoor win at Fort Wayne with that Focus car?
Oh, it would be great. Well, we all know I'm there every year. We're always fast. We usually qualify in the top 10, and been really, you know, I have no problem making my way to the front there. But it mean a lot to me. It'd definitely be my biggest win by far. And I've won on my own track when USAC came there and everything. But I've tried in like 15 features there and never got a win, and been up front a few times. It mean a lot to me.
Chris Ronnie Werderman joining us. Ronnie, you know, you're a kid that came out of the quarter midgets, and the quarter midgets are going to be there at Fort Wayne. It's like a Talladega for a quarter midgets.
Yeah,
you kind of wish they would have, we would have been able to compete on a track that size back when you were quarter midget racing?
Oh, that would have been awesome. I never got to, it's funny, I always excelled on the really tight tracks and on the really big ones, but I always struggled with anything in the middle. So I think that sort of shows in my midget history as well. The really tight ones I do well, and the bigger ones you run on, I do pretty good too. But I'd have loved to have a chance to race on track that size as a quarter midget.
I think they're about as crazy as the Carters. When I look at it, I go, I probably wouldn't have done it, but I guess that's why I'm behind a keyboard and you guys are behind the steering wheel. So
yeah, well, we're all a little crazy if we strap ourselves into these things.
That's for sure. And Ronnie Werderman here joining us. Ronnie, you know, looking forward to 2011. What do you have in your plans?
Well, I've been running the entire dirt-focused schedule, probably a couple speedrun races. And, man, if I can get in a sprint car, that'll make my year. I haven't really had any bites. I raced a sprint car a few years ago and have some experience in one, but that's really the goal, is to run a 410 wingless deal. But I don't know. We don't have any corporate sponsors or anything like that. It's a little harder. It doesn't matter how much talent you have.
And, of course, Ryan's going to keep on trying to win the focused cars. And, of course, your operation also is a very family-operated, oriented deal, and you have some interesting plans. I was reading on Facebook the other day. I love your team itinerary, by the way. I think you
like that. Yeah. A lot of that, we better warn the viewers, a lot of it's probably PG-13 at least.
And, let's just say Ronnie and the guys like to have some fun.
Well, that's true. Every month I look forward to Kevin Olson's article in Sprint Car and Midget, and I think I'm probably live up to it about as much as you can these days.
You're going to be racing against KO, too. That should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I've actually never met the guy. I can't wait to buy him a crappy beer at the bar. I'm pretty excited about it. But I'm looking forward to it, but, you know, he's just like anybody else. I don't care if it's – I certainly race against – always race against Mel Canyon as clean as I could, but, you know, aside from that, I don't care if they're – 14-year-old girl or Penny Stewart out there. I'm going to race them just as hard. So.
You know, it's kind of interesting you mentioned that, because that's everyone's quote from, you know, me covering the Rumble series. Yeah, I lay on everyone pretty hard, except for Mel.
but I'll tell you what, I got around Mel plenty of times cleanly, and it might have taken me an extra lap to do it. But, you never want to spin out the King of Midgets.
Even though he'll lay the wood to you.
What's that?
He'll lay the wood to you, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure, especially on my bill, because I buy half my stuff from him.
That's cool. Ronnie Werderman joining us here. You know, your guy has appreciation for the history of open wheel racing, a lot of the stuff in Fort Wayne. Do you get a sense of that stuff when you go to Fort Wayne about, you know, guys have been racing indoors here since, you know, before cages and stuff?
If you look at the cars that show up indoors, like, you could probably start a antique midget museum if you had all of them under one roof. But, I really have an appreciation for history. I'm a huge IndyCar fan, and I watched every Indy 500 that they have on tape, probably. And, just racing history in general. You just can't ever forget where your series has come from. It's just, and how tough the guys were back then, and how you can strive to be like them. I try not to get caught up in modern political correctness, and obviously I don't have the money to spend like some of the big teams, but I try to keep it a little more like they used to race back in the day, if you will.
And that's one of the cool aspects why we like this kid, Ronnie Werderman, looking for Fort Wayne. One last question. What do you think your most memorable Fort Wayne moment was, whether it was on or off the racetrack? And keep in mind, we are on the air, so not every story might be up for grabs. But
Let's see here. Last year, one memory sticks out in my mind. I passed this young lady for a transfer spot, and without any contact, she drove right into the wall. And I was a little confused by that. And then I was blamed for it, and had a water bottle thrown at me. right after the race. That was pretty exciting. And we watched the replay afterwards, and it was several feet away. I don't know how she thought I hit her. But that's one of them. And then the other has to be my first time in there, my first feature, running in the top five midst of the race. And that was back when we did the 100 lappers, too. So at 16 years old, doing that and getting my name on Speed Channel was a big deal back then.
And, and one last question. That's a very physical race. I mean, you have to kind of be in halfway decent shape to be able to do this.
Yeah, that's why we have power steering, TJ.
But even with the power steering, though, I mean,
if your car's handling well, it makes it a lot easier on the driver. If you have to really throw the car in there or manhandle the thing, or if, you get run into in the first couple of laps and something's bent, these cars are made to drive when everything is straight. When anything's bent on them, they become really infill. So if you stay out of everything and you have a good handling car, which rarely happens at Fort Wayne, both of those things in the same race, it's not as physical as you'd think. But 50 laps in, if it's a long green flag run, then anybody's going to get tired. I don't care who you are.
That's a good aspect from Ronnie Wordville. Ronnie, we wish you the best of luck at Fort Wayne, and tell you what, you're going to have to come back on if you win this thing.
Hey, you bet, man. I'll go on David Letterman if they ask me.
All right.
Thanks, TJ.
All right, Ronnie Wordville joining us on the air. I'll tell you what, Ronnie and his mom and everybody have known them for years, and great bunch of guys. Good guy to end on. He's a very old school racer and perfect person to end the show. Well, it's the end of 2010. It's our final show. I've survived. I've only messed up. I only, smashed half of Fedorchik's interview with drops and stuff where we're trying to fix up the technical problems from earlier. But thankfully, I'm going to be down here on Thursday rewiring the whole studio for our new co-host and everything. But I want to thank everybody who's taken time to listen over 2010. And we're really looking forward to 2011. I have a great feeling about the upcoming racing season. I'm really looking forward to getting back out to some places I haven't been to in a long time and getting back to some favorites, I cherish and love going to and getting out with my dad and doing some racing in 2011. So on behalf of everyone here in the Open Wheel Spectacular, racesontheweb.com and tjslideways.com, wish you a happy new year. We'll be back here next Tuesday, 7 o'clock, or if you can't, catch it live, listen on the podcast, and wish you a happy new year. Hopefully see you out at Fort Wayne, and we will see you next week. Good night.
You've been listening to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on racesontheweb.com. Thanks for tuning in, and come back next week for your open wheel racing fix.